Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Thibodeau, and today I'm going to be interviewing Franz about the historical inaccuracies of Reiki. So, hello, Franz.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, thank you for doing the interview. I'm very excited.
And so am I. It's my pleasure. I was wondering, in your opinion, what are the most common historical inaccuracies relating to Reiki and Isui Sensei?
Well, I think, first of all, that often a lot of people call Isui Sensei still doctor. Over time now, it's been proven that Isui Sensei was no doctor at all. Mm-hmm. And still, a lot of people call Isui Sensei doctor or write books about it where he's called a doctor. And I think nowadays in our society, the term doctor is someone who has done specific kind of training, and Isui never did this kind of training. So we have to be very careful with that. A major one where a lot of people say that the system of Reiki comes from Tibet. I think that's a really major misconception. First of all, if you look at the Reiki 2 symbols or mantras and the Reiki 3 symbol and mantra, we can clearly see that some of them are Japanese writing. As far as my knowledge goes, in Tibet, they don't write either Japanese or Chinese. So the only really background where it could come from is China. Another thing what we need to be aware of is that often the system of Reiki is related to Tibetan Buddhism. Well, Tibetan Buddhism was actually taken from India and then into Tibet. But at the same time, the Buddhism from India went to China and into Japan. So it actually bypassed Tibet. And as well, Buddhism became involved with the existing practices, what was already there. So nowadays, for example, if you look at Tibetan Buddhism or Japanese Buddhism or Chinese Buddhism or Thai Buddhism, they all have their own flavor. So I think these are two really big major misconceptions, unfortunately.
Right. I've also seen on a lot of websites mention of Isui Sensei being a Christian or a Christian minister.
Yeah, I think that's another kind of big misconception. It might have been that when the teachings of Reiki came to the West, that Mrs. Takata tried to make the teachings more acceptable at that time. At the time as well, we must be aware that in America, a lot of people were not really pro-Japanese. Mm-hmm. So she might have, in all her goodwill, actually said that he was a Christian minister or a Christian practitioner. Nowadays we know actually that, again, that is not really correct.
Okay. So what role exactly did Mrs. Takata play in the sharing of Reiki with Western people and also changing some of the stories?
I think it's very interesting because, first of all, we need to have a little look at what Mrs. Takata really was talking about. I think, as he was trained by Hayashi Sensei, that she was very much referring to Hayashi Sensei's teachings. And I don't personally believe that that was really completely the way Isui was teaching. So first of all, I think that over time, the teachings already changed by Hayashi Sensei and became very much focused as first aid, or tiati, hands-on healing, while kind of leaving out the more spiritual practices. So in one way, we cannot really say, oh, Mrs. Takata changed a lot. I think already Hayashi Sensei changed a lot. Yes, I do believe that Mrs. Takata had created certain stories. But as I say, I think she did that from a point of view that she was wanted to make the system of Reiki more accessible. I think when Mrs. Takata passed away, that afterwards some of her teachers started to really change the system, changing attunements, adding more symbols and mantras to the system, adding more levels to the system, coming with a Tibetan history, all these kind of things. So I don't think that Mrs. Takata played a major role in changing the system of Reiki. I personally think it had already been changed by Hayashi Sensei and definitely by a lot of teachers of Mrs. Takata, and particularly afterwards when they started to teach other people, they had changed as well different concepts. It's like Chinese whispers.
Exactly, yeah. I wonder if it's also possibly the evolution of Reiki that we may not know exactly how Yusui Sensei originally taught or practiced Reiki, but we have seen a progression over the last 80 some years. Do you think that could be reflected in the changes that Hayashi made or Takata's students made?
I think a lot of people nowadays I hear saying that, oh, we live in a different time than Usui Sensei, and so it's actually good that the system of Reiki is changing. I personally don't really think it's good. Let's look, for example, at you know, the traditional system of yoga, or the traditional system of Qigong, or the traditional system of Tai Chi. All these practices existed over hundreds or even, you know, thousands of years and are still being practiced. A lot of New Age teachings, what started in the 1980s, now 20 years later, are completely gone because a lot of those teachings have not a solid foundation. I think when we look at the system of Reiki, we can see in one way that it is a very spiritual practice. Nowadays, we might have created a system where we all say, yes, it's a spiritual practice, but on the other hand, it's become a very instant spiritual practice. We might do a 2-day Reiki 1 course, or a 2-day or a 1-day Reiki 2 course, and then maybe a 3-day or a 5-day or a 1-year Reiki 3 course, and that's about it. And then we might call ourselves a Reiki master. To me, Reiki means spiritual energy. And to master spiritual energy, we need to do much more training than just a year or maybe 5 years. It's a really different kind of approach.
Absolutely. It's also my understanding that Reiki Master, wasn't a part of the Japanese system, that it was possibly a mistranslation or something that came from the West.
I do think that it might have been a mistranslation of the word sensei. There's a lovely Japanese quote I read a while ago, and it said, a person who calls himself a master isn't. And I thought it was actually quite cute. But on the other hand, we're now so used to the term Reiki master that if you want to advertise the system of Reiki, that it becomes very difficult. If you, for example, call yourself a Reiki teacher, yeah, then a lot of people might ring up and say, oh, are you as well a Reiki master? So, you know, we have created this setup where, unfortunately, now we maybe want to change that. And that might take quite a few years before people get used to that, that instead of calling ourselves Reiki master, or what some people nowadays do call themselves grandmasters, that we go back to a Reiki teacher.
Well, there's certainly a lot more prestige in the word master than there is in teacher. It sounds much more grandiose and possibly insinuates a level of power or authority that people wouldn't feel if they were calling themselves teacher.
In one way, yes, but if we look at the system of Reiki, and if we call it a spiritual practice, and if we look at, for example, the Reiki 3 symbol, what really in Japan you can see in temples, and it's been still being practiced and used in many traditions in Japan, and it was already used long before Usui Sensei started to use it, we see that it is a very spiritual tool. If we go into that space on Reiki 3 and really understand the Reiki 3 mantra and symbol, then we cannot say we are a master, because at that time when we have fully understood that particular symbol and mantra, we might call ourselves, and again we cannot call ourselves like that, but we might use the term, say for example, enlightenment, or as a lot of the Japanese people want to call it, Anzen Ritsume. And at that time, you cannot, for example, call yourself, I am enlightened, because in that space, the I will disappear. And as soon as the I disappears as well, others will disappear. So in one way, we cannot call ourselves a Reiki master, because that means that we are more powerful, as you say, or more advanced than others. And we don't put ourselves on the same level. So to me, the word Reiki master doesn't really do justice to working with the Reiki 3 symbol and mantra.
I'm level 3 at the moment. I'm a student of Hyakuten Inamoto's, and I live in Japan. When I take the final course, I won't feel comfortable calling myself personally a Reiki master. I feel like I will always be a Reiki student, and there will always be more for me to learn. So I do believe it's a personal choice, and for me, I will call myself a teacher, probably as long as I practice.
I think so too, and if we look at, for example, Usui Sensei's teachings, we can see that on a memorial stone in Tokyo, it says he had about 2,000 students. What at the time is not that much. It is said that Eguchi Sensei actually had 500,000 students, while Usui only had 2,000 students. Of these 2,000 students, only it is said that about between 70 and 80 people were practicing, and I'm saying were practicing, I'm not saying they finished, level 2 or Okuden. Of these people, somewhere between 20 and 25, were practicing, and again I say practicing and not finished, Shimpuden or Reiki 3. So from 2,000 people to about 20, that to me already looks like it was a very serious practice. Because if Usui would just say, oh, I just do the attunement and now you're a Reiki 2, and oh, now you do a 2-day course or a 3-day course and you're a Reiki 3, then we would have much more people practicing Reiki 2, and much more people practicing Reiki 3. So by looking at the numbers of Usui Sensei students, we can already see that it was a very difficult and long practice.
Yeah, it shows much more patience and also commitment, possibly.
I think so too, yeah.
Okay, well, let's bring it back a bit. For a long time in the West, people had these ideas about the history of Reiki, and at some point some Western Reiki teachers, Reiki masters, came to Japan and started doing some academic research. What do you know about the reaction in the West when some of these historical truths were discovered or rediscovered?
I think a lot of people took them on board, but I think as well a lot of people still ignored them. And so, for example, if hopefully one day there will be a book being presented by, who knows, with more documented evidence about Usui Sensei and about his teachings. Even if that would be published and thousands of books will be sold, I think there still will people will say, oh, but my Reiki comes from Tibet, or oh, no, Usui Sensei was a Christian, because sometimes we get so stuck in our beliefs that we don't want to let go of that.
How are these stories still being spread today? And why?
Some people might have started these stories, and now, over time, when the world has become smaller through the internet, people have done some research. Some Japanese teachers have been teaching Westerners. Slowly, some more information is coming out of Japan. And suddenly, they're stuck. These people are stuck. Suddenly, if they've been teaching for years, for example, to say that Reiki comes from Tibet, and suddenly they find that, hey, that's not really the truth, how can they in reality say to their students, well, this is not the case. I actually wasn't correct. Of course they should do that, but I think it's very difficult for teachers like that. And particularly it might be very difficult because they might have created such a story and out of their teachings that they say, oh, I know it comes out of Tibet, or I know this particular version, or I know this truth. And I think if we always say, I only believe in my truth, we get really stuck. We always need to look at someone else's truth. By that, we can be very flexible and be open. So, for example, at the International House of Reiki, we always are trying to change our teachings accordingly to what we read in all Japanese books, Kashi Tomita, Sensei, Eguchi Sensei's books, talking to people, meeting with people, discussing, looking at different elements of how the culture was in Japan when Usui Sensei was alive. And each time that will be changing. It has to change because more and more information is surfacing. So if, for example, I would say, oh no, this is the truth, and then 2 months later another truth comes along, I'm suddenly stuck. So I think that's what happened over time with a lot of teachers in the West who have changed the system of Reiki, and now they're stuck in their truth.
Very interesting. So what are the dangers to the reputation of Reiki if these people, the people who are stuck in their version of the truth, continue to teach their students this? Because I remember a few years ago when I was starting my Reiki journey and doing research on the internet and coming away from the computer feeling very confused because I was getting different versions of what I think should have been one story, or I was being told, this is the true story. No, this is the true story. And there seemed to be a lot of conflict. So I'm wondering about prospective students at some point in the future who want to learn more about Reiki but come across something that seems a little unsubstantiated.
Yeah, I think it's very tricky. And we get many phone calls or emails from people and who are very confused about the system of Reiki. In one way, I think we never can say we know the true teachings of Usui Sensei. A lot of people have passed away over time. I definitely believe there's documents in Japan, probably in Usui Sensei's family name, maybe other students. But I think that might take a long time to come out, if that will come out anyway at all. Nowadays, when the system of Reiki is becoming more popular, when a lot of people start to practice hands-on healing in hospitals and in the name of the system of Reiki, that when there's so many different truths or histories and people claiming different things out there, I think it can be very, very negative for the reputation of the system of Reiki. We really need to be careful on how we present this and how we present the system of Reiki to the public. Because first of all, if you want to teach or if you want to practice, you need to come from a solid foundation. And second, I think it's really important that as a whole, as all these teachers, we need to come together and not look at the differences between each school. I think we need to focus a lot on the similarities. But I must say personally, I found it very, very difficult to hear that there are still people out there claiming they teach these particular lineages of secret symbols and mantras, or only they know the true teachings because it comes from this secret monastery somewhere in the world. Because to me, the system of Reiki is a Japanese system. And I think we really need to look at the roots as when Usui Sensei was alive and really come to that source.
I've spoken to some people who thought that maybe the stories seen more as analogies, in particular Mrs. Takata's stories. If they're presented as an analogy, that would be okay, much like Bible stories or Adam and Eve. There probably weren't two people who started mankind, but it's more of an analogy. What role do you think these stories as an analogy could play?
I think they're really good because ultimately, say if you and I do a Reiki course with someone, a Reiki teacher course, and you and I go away, we have a different perspective. And you will teach in your way and I will teach in my way. And I will use different methods of teaching and you will use different methods of teaching. And if we say, oh, look, I had this vision and I saw this amazing symbol and mantra. It's not Reiki, but I like you to actually play with it, see what happens. Yeah, you know, if people want to do that, it's fine. But nowadays, it's all put under the banner of the system of Reiki. This is what Usui did. If people just say, this is not a Japanese method, but this is something what I personally really connect with and personally really like, and I would like you actually to present that in class and try it out. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't call it Usui Sensei's teachings. So, for example, we have now just created this lovely Reiki technique card deck, and some people start to use it in their classes. What is great. But we cannot say, oh, this is how Usui Sensei used to do it, because at that time there were no cards.
Right.
So you can say, oh, look, this is something quite modern, but I really resonate with this method. Everybody picks a card, do a technique, go ahead. It's something what was not done when Usui Sensei was alive. I'll give you an example. A long time ago, I was teaching a Reiki 2 class, and we were talking about distance healing. One particular student had done Reiki 2 somewhere else, and this person said, oh, no, traditionally it's done on a teddy bear. I said, now, okay, let us all close our eyes and imagine this person, Usui Sensei, in late 1800s, beginning 1900s, sitting in a monastery, or even if it's not in a monastery, in his house in Japan. Do you really think he would do distant healing on a teddy bear? And this guy opened his eyes and he said, I've never thought about it that way. And he said, you're right, that absolutely doesn't make sense. I said, yeah, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It's still a wonderful technique, but it's not something that Usui Sensei used. So what is unfortunately happening now, a lot of people take Usui Sensei and his teachings completely out of the period of late 1800s, beginning 1900s, and stick him with his teachings right smack in this century. It's impossible. We live in a completely different century. So when we need to understand the system of Reiki, we need to go back to the late 1800s, beginning 1900s.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think it's up to everybody, all of us in the world, to be students with their eyes open and with their ears open, and not to turn off your brain. You need to listen to what your teacher is saying and ask questions and try to be in the moment and listening to what they're saying, not just accepting.
Again, when we look, for example, as the teachings of Usui Sensei and, say, that period of time, at that time as well, when people might follow specific teachings, they were giving a specific technique. I don't think really at that time teachers would really explain this technique in how we would do that now. Yeah. So, for example, we might say, oh, this technique helps you to connect to the earth, so it means it's very grounded, you start to feel this and sense that. I think at that time you were given the technique, and you would go home and practice it, and you would find it out for yourself. So you would only learn through self-practice and self-investigation. By that time, then, when you had become a teacher, you would talk from your own experiences. Nowadays, we don't talk from our own experiences. We talk from our teacher's experiences, because we learn a technique and we might say, oh, this is because of earth energy, or the attunement does this, or this particular technique does that. How do we really know? Have we practiced it often enough to really understand it? But most of the time we say, oh, no, actually, that's how my teacher taught it. Or my teacher taught it came from this country. Or my teacher taught it about this. And it's not through your own investigation. Often in classes I say, don't believe me. Don't believe a book. Don't believe an internet site. Go home. Apply the technique. See for yourself what comes up. And then come back. And we talk about it and see what happened. But only then, I think, we really start to know what the system of Reiki is, when we talk from personal experience.
In 30 years, will this still be a topic that we'll be discussing?
I think in 30 years of the system of Reiki, I'm really not sure what is going to happen with the system of Reiki. On one point, I think that it's going to collapse into itself, because of all the different historical backgrounds and all the different ideas. So many levels this, so many levels that, so many levels this. Unless maybe some really grounded information about Usui Sensei and his teachings come from Japan, I think only then we might have some hope that we still be practicing the system of Reiki. I think as well, maybe if, hopefully over time, that we start actually to take the system of Reiki as well serious. I'm not saying that we're not taking it serious now, but actually really applying it. Not just initiating people here and there, but really using the tools, preferably the precepts. I think they're really the foundation of the system of Reiki. And I think within the precepts, we can see every single aspect of the system of Reiki. Unless we don't really apply that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But I hope it will go on.
So do I, for the good of all of us.
Yeah.
The world needs more Reiki, and hopefully we can continue sharing and bring it to as many people as possible.
To talk about, you know, the serious practices, what I've seen over time is that if we look at people who work in the alternative health industry or maybe even nursing, the older we get, we're going to give up. Yeah? Often people have been practicing alternative medicine for 5 years or for 10 years. They give up. Or maybe 20 years. They give up. They retire. They had enough. Yeah? Nurses break down, etc. This is in Western countries. If we look at more Asian countries, we see very old people who've become very skilled at healing. And I started to look at this issue a while ago, and I thought, now why is that? And I realized that these people actually work a lot on themselves. So the older they become, they have been practicing more on themselves. They're in a deeper space, in a more spiritual connection, the stronger they become. And here in Australia, there's one particular Chinese man in Melbourne who actually does some treatments. And he does some kind of Tai Chi or Qigong treatments. And I heard that he only started to work on other people when he felt the time was ready. And the time was ready only after 37 years of self-practice.
Wow.
And you know, this is a whole different kind of idea. We do a Reiki 1 course or a Reiki 2 course or a Reiki 3 course, and we go, oh yeah, let's heal other people. But what about ourselves? How can we heal other people if we don't know how to heal ourselves?
Exactly. That reminds me of what you said about the original students of Yusui-sensei, that they showed such perseverance and patience about advancing their study. That man took 37 years for himself. It's fantastic.
I wish to thank you very much for this interview, and I'm very glad that you replied to our email when we were looking for people to interview us, and you came up with some great questions, I think, what are very important for the system of Reiki. So thank you very much.
It was my pleasure, and it was lovely to speak to you tonight.
Yeah, and I wish you all the success in your Reiki journey.
Thank you. I hope we can meet someday.
We definitely will.